Well, good evening. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And on behalf of our family of Trinity, we certainly extend a Merry Christmas to all of our visitors that are worshiping with us here this evening. We're glad that you can be here with us. And from Lindy and myself, we certainly, as our family, wish a very Merry Christmas to all of you as well. Well, we gather this evening around the theme of glorious light, as you see on your bulletin covers. The order of worship is printed in here. However, with the blessings of our sound team being able to come in, they also have put everything on the screen, so you can follow the service either way. But the theme verse that we follow this evening, as you see at the introduction, is "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." And that comes from God's inspiring words given to Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 2.
Praises of your people,
invite the congregation to stand. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Arise, shine, for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. To us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called.
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
We proclaim the praises of him.
Who called us out of darkness. From the realms of
glory, we glorify o'er all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Has shown the light of God's love into our hearts, giving us faith to believe that the darkness of our sin has indeed been dispelled by the coming of Christ in the flesh. Let us therefore go to God's throne of grace, confessing our sins. Wonderful Counselor, we confess that we have listened to the advice of the dark world around us. We have let the gloom of the nations and the difficulties of our personal lives blind us to the light of your love. Forgive us, mighty God. We confess that we have ascribed too much power to the forces of evil in this world of sin. We have failed to recognize you as glorious Lord over all. Forgive us, everlasting Father. We confess that in our daily dilemmas, we have forgotten the great forgiving love that prompted Christ to become one of us to die for us. We have not always sought to live in your light. Forgive us. Prince of Peace, we confess that we have not recognized the peace that you have brought to our discordant lives. It does not fill our hearts and minds. Forgive us. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Christ's eternal reign has broken through our time and place with the brilliant light of his mercy and his forgiveness. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And let us pray. O God, you made this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that as we have known the mysteries of that light on earth, we may also come to the fullness of his joys in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Seven. For to us a child is born. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he was made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this, and this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson appointed for this evening comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this too is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I heard about this baby boy, came to earth to bring us joy, and just I want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, minor chord, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know the words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, a couple came to Bethlehem, expecting a child. They searched the inn to find no place for you, because you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in the manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel, the Savior, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. And every breath you sang, oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
At this time, I would invite the congregation to stand for the reading of our Holy Gospel for this evening. That gospel comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated now as we continue with our next hymn, "The People That in Darkness Sat."
You from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ on this Christmas Eve as we come out of busy schedules, out of busy lives, out of a noisy world to have this quiet time to ponder the meaning of this incredible event. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us probably are very familiar with Charles Dickens' novel, A Christmas Carol. And maybe more of us have seen movie renditions of that story than actually reading the book, but we know it's about Ebenezer Scrooge and how his heart was changed on that particular Christmas. And it's really a feel-good story, isn't it, as you watch it, because it has a very happy ending. Everyone in the story lives happily ever after. But you know, there's another Dickens novel that perhaps more accurately describes Christmas and the way that Christmas feels, at least, not Christmas, but the way it feels for many of us. And he begins A Tale of Two Cities with these infamous words. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of unbelief. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, and we had nothing before us. Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? And yet, as we ponder those words, Christmas also is a time of contrast. It's a time of prosperity, and it's a time of poverty. It's a season of goodwill, and it's a season of very ugly greed. Christmas is a time of family togetherness and a time of excruciating loneliness. It's a season of light and it's a season of darkness. Christmas is the spring of hope and Christmas is the winter of acute despair in our feelings. Don't get me wrong, we all want Christmas to be the best of times. And that's why we decorate, isn't it? That's why we donate. It's why we shop until we drop. It's why we put up trees and we hang tinsel and we cook turkeys and ham and we put together all kinds of toys. We all want a holly jolly Christmas. But let's be honest. As much as we want Christmas to be the best of times, sometimes it is the worst of times. We're our reading from the prophet Isaiah, and of course God inspired Isaiah to write these words in chapter 9. Kind of resonates, doesn't it, with the tale of two cities. The prophet's message is also one of contrast. It's a season of light and the season of darkness. And I quote from Isaiah 9:2, "The people who walked in darkness and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness." That's how God describes the situation at that time. The people sitting in the dark included the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Zebulun and Naphtali were two of Jacob's 12 sons, you may remember, who all of them went down to Egypt, where along with their brothers, they became a great nation. And after about 430 years, God rescued them out of Egypt. And then for another 40 years, because of their rebellion, finally God gave them their inheritance in the promised land, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Well, then we fast forward 700 years to Isaiah's day, and we find that the Assyrian army attacked these northern tribes, defeated their armies, leveled their cities, and exiled many of them to distant lands. It was indeed at that time the worst of times. Zebulun and Naphtali walked in darkness and dwelt in a land of deep darkness. And I would imagine every one of us in this room knows about deep darkness. Some maybe have spent too much money again over Christmas, and now we're worried about our financial future. Others are struggling with health or the health of a loved one, wondering if this might be their last Christmas. I was just with an individual yesterday, and I think it's going to be their last Christmas on earth. Some are wrestling with old hurts that won't heal, with new wounds that won't go away. Still others are missing loved ones this Christmas. And it's either because of distance or because of death, and I know there are those in this room affected by that. Or maybe it's because of cruel, broken relationships. There's an even more foreboding darkness, though. And Jesus explains this one to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and I quote, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." You know, too often, isn't it true that we love the darkness of self-centered narcissism? Boy, that's what our culture really embraces today. We live in the darkness of lies and half-truths and long for more of the darkness. Ironically, our sinful nature eats the darkness up. It longs and craves after the darkness. That's our sinful flesh within us. Well, is this the end of the story? Not on your life. And here is all of Isaiah 9:2. And think about the contrast here. The people who walked in darkness have what? They've seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. And this is not just any ordinary light, by the way, but as God inspired Isaiah to call it, it is a great light. The first light to shine in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali was perhaps Gideon. Remember Gideon? He defeated the 120,000 Midianites. Remember how many men he had in his army to do that? 300. 300 men. You can read about it in Judges 7, and it describes it, this battle, in this way. Grasping the torches in their left hands. Now this is 300 men. And they're going against 120,000 powerful soldiers. Grasping the torches in their left hands and holding their right hands the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." 300 torches! What a light! And soon another light would shine on Zebulun and Naphtali. And that was King Josiah, a very good king. And King Josiah marched north with the burning torch of his newfound scroll of God's Word. Do you realize God's Word was lost for a while? Josiah, it was found during Josiah's reign. And so Josiah takes God's Word with him as a lamp to his feet and a light for his path, as we hear in Psalm 119. And Josiah reclaimed Zebulun and Naphtali. He reformed their worship. He renewed their faith. And he did it with God's powerful word. What a light. The great light, however, was yet to appear. And we hear about it through the prophet Isaiah. "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Majesty in the midst of the mundane, holiness in the middle of cattle manure, divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager, and in the presence of a carpenter." What a way God chose to bring light into the world. Well, Jesus is that light. He's the light that took on flesh so that he may take you into his arms, that he may heal your hurts and forgive your sins and my sins and destroy that darkness that tries to invade and control and to consume our lives. Jesus took on flesh, and he did it in order to live the life that we could not and die our death so we need not. Jesus is dazzling light. He is brilliant light. No wonder when we confess the Nicene Creed together, we declare that Jesus is light of light, right? Light of light. You know, with Gideon, the light burned out in the apostasy of Baal worship that invaded the land. And it was through the anarchy of his son Abimelech. Josiah, with him, the light burned out in his death at the hands of a Pharaoh at the Battle of Megiddo. Would the light of Jesus burn out as well? Would this light cease to shine for all time? Would the betrayal, the blood, and the burial, and the final be the final curtain call? Is this the end of the story? Not on your life. Because what was prophesied? Of the increase of his government and peace, do you remember what it says? There will be no end. Did you hear that? No end. The grave held Jesus for 3 days, but now he is alive. His promises are sure. His light continues to shine, and there will be no end to his love. You know, on December 17th, 1903, something near and dear to my heart, Orville and Wilbur Wright got their flying machine off the ground. The airplane was born. And in their excitement, they sent a telegraph to their sister. They're out on the East Coast. They send a telegraph to their sister, Catherine, in Dayton, Ohio. And here's what the telegraph said. And I quote, "Flew 120 feet. Will be home for Christmas." Yeah. Now, when Catherine got the news, she ran to the local newspaper. And she showed the telegraph to the editor. He glanced at it and he said, "Wow, how nice, the boys are going to be home for Christmas." He completely missed the point. Yes, it was nice that Orville and Wilbur would be home for Christmas, but a person had flown in an airplane for the first time. That was big news, and it was totally missed. Well, think about that in light of Christmas. The big news of Christmas is that God took flight. God, did he ever take flight? He took flight and traveled from heaven to earth. Well, whether tonight is for you the best of times or the worst of times, whether it's the spring of hope or the winter of despair, the birth of Jesus, announced by Isaiah, witnessed by the shepherds, marveled at by the Magi, leaves us with this good news of great joy. And what would that be? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Amen. And now may the peace of God be with us this evening and always, as we keep our hearts and minds always focused in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came in the flesh to deliver us, who is the light of the world, and whose light can never be snuffed out, and we pray burns brightly in our hearts. Amen. Merry Christmas.
My daughter asked me to sing this one tonight. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, no. when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine. Led by the light of a star sweetly beaming, with glowing hearts, by his cradle we stand. And so, led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, there came the wise men from Orient land. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Night divine.
And knowing the greatness of our Lord's love for us and knowing his presence among us, we come with confidence in prayer to him. And in our prayers tonight, you will notice that at the end of each petition, the congregation responds with, "Hear our prayer and shine on our darkness." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you brought the light of life into the darkness of our sinful world. Shine that light on us that we may be kept in the one true faith. O light of the world, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the miracle of your birth and for the miracle of our rebirth. Assure us of your baptismal promises so that we who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, may live each day as children of the light. O light of the world, Lord Jesus, the world was made through you, yet the world does not know you. Give to us and all your people the joy and zeal of the shepherds, so that we may also make known the truth that we have been called out of darkness and into your marvelous light. O light of the world, Lord Jesus, provide for those without homes or jobs or food or friends in this sacred season. Assure them that even when no one else seems to care, you will never abandon them. With the gifts you have given to us, use us to provide for everyone in need, so that through us, even the most destitute may experience your providing care. O light of the world,
hear our prayer and shine on our darkness.
Lord Jesus, you came to abolish death and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. Receive our praise and hear our prayers, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, at this time in our service, we have the candle lighting ceremony. And if you are able to stand, I would invite the congregation to stand. And just a reminder that if you would dip the unlit candles into the ones that are lit to prevent wax from falling on the floor. But this evening, as we light our candles, we remember and worship our Savior, Jesus Christ, God's light of love. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, as we hear those words from the prophet Isaiah. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then we hear, as God inspired Paul to write these words, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." In the same way, let your light shine before people, Jesus says, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Moment in silence just to ponder this evening, to ponder the greatness of this light, to ponder the incredible love that God has for us and for the world. We can bring the lights up once again and we can extinguish our candle. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the faithfulness of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the light of the Christ child. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit shine on us now and forevermore. Amen.